Evening, everyone. Tonight we're continuing our series on Love Actually. And if you watch this clip, I wonder if you can guess what the topic is tonight. I'm just going to show you a clip and I'm going to grab my Bible and my notes. But have a look at this clip, see what you can guess what we're going to be talking about. Now, I might be showing my age here because I kind of grew up with Friends a bit, but I understand it's on repeat, so some of you might have seen it, some of you younger ones. We're going to be talking about friendship tonight, and friendship is so key, isn't it? The friendships we have are some of the biggest influences on our lives, and sometimes those influences can be like really positive, but sometimes they can be quite painful and negative as well, and quite complex. And the Bible's got lots to say about friendship. I'm going to read a bit from 1 John, which is the letter we've been digging into. And it begins, "Dear friends." That's how it begins. And so this bit is about how friendships are supposed to work. So I'm going to read this now. And just as I read it, you might want to grab a Bible if you haven't got one. There's a few Bibles here. Boys, you might have them on your phone. But if you want to grab a few Bibles, we're on page 1227. This is all about love and friendship. So, page 1227, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, if you're looking it up in something else. It begins this: dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Lord God, we pray as we just think about this topic of love and friendship and what it means to do friendship in the way that you've designed it. Lord, I pray that you'd be speaking to us, Lord, opening our eyes to hear what you want to say to us. Opening our hearts that we might receive the things you want to put into us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of my children said to me recently, "Sometimes I feel like I've got lots of friends, but at other times it feels like I don't have any." And as a dad, you go, "Oh." But I can really relate to that. I really understood what they were saying. I remember growing up and having times where I thought, yeah, I've got great friends. I've got lots of friends. I felt included, felt a part of what was happening. But I remember also having times where I felt like I didn't really fit in. I felt, even though I had friends, I felt kind of lonely and kind of disconnected. And that was hard. Sometimes I found myself kind of pretending to be different to what I really was, in order just to fit in with other people. And tonight I want to talk about recapturing true friendship. You see, true friendship, according to the Bible, only occurs where there is true love. True love. But there's a lot of confusion around this love word as we've been exploring over recent weeks and months. You see, the Bible here says, "Dear friends, Let us love one another. And you're probably not that surprised that the Bible, God, tells us to love each other. This letter is full of references to love. In fact, this particular section has got more than anywhere else. But when God talks about love, and when John talks about love, particularly here, he's actually talking about it in a way that is probably different to the way we imagine. Okay? And I want to try and explain that a little bit, because there's a lot of confusion around this love word. I wonder what you think about when I say the word love to you. There might be all sorts of different things that come into your mind. Perhaps you think about the love triangle between sort of Katniss Everdeen and Peter and Gail in the Hunger Games. I've got a little sister who's 10 years younger than me, and I remember her reading these and then passing them on. I read them one summer, and they're films now as well. Or maybe you think about the relationship between Hazel and Gus in The Fault in Our Stars. You know, that sort of intense, romantic, passionate love. Or maybe you think about love in terms of kind of, I like you. You know, so when you say I love you, what you don't mean is I love you. What you mean is I like you, yeah? Friendship. That's what you think about when you think about love. Or maybe you think about love in terms of, you know, family, parents, siblings, those that you love in your family. I think those are kind of the basic categories that we have today in our culture. And because we all need love, tonight I don't need to spend any time convincing anyone here that you need love, don't we? We all experience this just very quickly. We experience this need to be loved. But what you see in our society, in our culture, if you take a step back for a moment, is that people are generally pursuing love in one of those three areas, and sometimes jumping from one area to another, whether it's in friendship relationships, or whether it's in kind of love relationships, sort of romantic relationships, or in family relationships. Now, there's a number of challenges with that. And the first is that if you pursue love in this whole kind of area of the people liking me kind of love, the sort of friendship love, one of the challenges that those relationships are very often based on stuff that you like together. Okay, so I like this thing, and so I've got some friends who also like this thing, or I do this thing, and I've got some friends who do this thing, or I wear this thing, and I've got some friends who also wear this sort of thing. And those sort of friendships, one of the challenges with them is the stuff we like changes quite quickly. And so, especially when we're younger. And so you find, or certainly I found, that the sort of friendship groups around me would change and reform, and you didn't always know where you were in relation to these friendship groups. They used to be quite fragile. I don't know if it's the same in your schools, or, and this could be true in workplaces, as well. But when I was growing up, I found that the different groups of friendships started to emerge. So there was this sort of very cool group of people who were together. There was a kind of bit more geeky group. There was a bit of a kind of druggy group. And there were a few other groups as well. And I found that I didn't really fit perfectly in any of them. I kind of orbited in and out of a number of different ones, trying to fit in, made a fair few mistakes along the way. But I wonder, do your friendships kind of feel a bit like that? You know, not sure kind of how things are going, whether you kind of fit in at the moment, whether what you'll be wearing that day is going to be right, whether what you're listening to at the moment is right. You know, I remember listening to stuff I didn't even like, just to fit in with different friends. It's a bit odd. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. The challenge with those friendships sort of groups is that they're really fragile. Really fragile. They kind of break and reform, and they're not very secure. And that's why so many people, instead, they kind of pursue, or as well as, they pursue kind of passionate romantic relationships. You know, we try to find someone who will love me for who I am. You know, that person who will accept me and give me the love that I need, who will kind of fill my need to be loved. But what you find is that so often this leads to a really at the beginning, a really kind of intense relationship that very often, again, can break down, causing great pain for at least one person, normally both people. Because it's impossible for one person to meet the kind of love need of another. It's just too much. You're putting too much on that other person to meet. If I say to my wife, Laura, you have to meet all my needs to be loved, it's impossible for her. And that's what we do in our kind of romantic relationships sometimes. And they get destroyed as a result. It's too much of a strain. And so often people go, well, I'm still not full. I've got these friendships and I've got this romantic relationship. What I need, actually, I'm not full. I need a family. And people so often go into family life with such high expectations, thinking this is finally going to meet my need for love. And we very sadly know the statistics on family life breaking down are extraordinary. It's terrible. And some of you, I know, have been affected by that with great pain. Because even a family can't fill us up as we're meant to be filled. I wanted to try and kind of demonstrate this a little bit with an illustration. I need a volunteer. Nate, thank you. Okay, Nathan, I'm going to give you a cup. It says me on it, but it's you. If that makes sense. You're now me. Just be you. Okay, around this a church, it's towards the front, by the way, to give people a clue. There's some other cups, white cups, with some love in it. It's water. But don't tell anyone. Oh. Okay, could everyone else just have a little look, see if we can find some white cups. They're quite well hidden. Quite well hidden. This is a bit like our search for love, okay? We don't find it straight away. Okay? Anyone found one yet? Okay, oh great. Come to us, bring it forward when you find it. Don't drink it. Okay, great. Good test of my spelling now. Okay, so, now, Josh, what does your cup say?
Friends.
Friends, okay. Have you got anything in there?
A little bit of water.
A little bit of love. A little bit of love.
Love.
A little bit of love. Okay, can you just him, Nathan, want some love.
There you go.
Okay, so that's what we do. We go, friends, I need some of what you've got. Give it to me. Okay? You full?
No.
Not full. Okay. How about some romance? Can we have a bit of love? Sorry, that's very embarrassing how that worked out, isn't it? Okay. You got some in there? Oh, yeah. Okay. You full? No? Okay, so we've had some friendships, had some romance. Family. That's what we need. We need family. Okay, so a bit more. Oh, there's a bit more in that. Okay. Okay, so imagine this is like love that's been poured into Nathan. Are you full?
No.
You're not full. You've got some, but you're not full. Now, what's happened to everyone else? They're all empty. And you see what so often happens in our culture is that basically we go from one person to another going, oh, give me some love. And so you give out and then you're left empty. And there's someone, you know, gets a bit more and then they say, oh, well, you need to give that back and you can give some back and you give some back. And no one's actually full. Lots of empty people going around. Thank you very much. Can we give everyone a clap? You can keep your love. Maybe not. Do you see the problem? Okay? Why are we getting this so wrong? The reason we're getting this so wrong is because we don't understand where the source of love is. Did you notice where it was? If you go back to your Bible. Dear friends, let us love one another. Where does love come from? For love comes from... You're going to have to read it to find out. I'm not going to tell you. Love comes from where? From God. It's from God. And this is so, so key. So we're going around trying to find little bits of love, a little bit from this person, a little bit from that person, and you only get a little bit. And we end up still empty. And God's love is, well, I wanted to say it was a bit more like this. But it's actually more than that, you see. See, that's quite a big jug. And, you know, if you come to God instead of to other people, and God is, God can just fill you to overflowing. I mean, David does a similar sort of illustration on that when he does marriages. You know, that God has so much that he can keep filling. But it's more than that, you see. It's much more like this. It's more than a jug. I'll be back. You see, it's much more like this. Okay? Okay, are you ready for this? Okay? So, we're just going to turn it on. No, not really. Okay. Okay. You see, God, that when a hose is connected to a tap, there's an endless supply, isn't there? Just an endless supply. And that's the thing the point John is making about friendship is that you don't get full with love from your other friends or from your romantic relationships or from your family relationships. The only place you get actually filled with love is from God himself. And it's an invitation not to be kind of a little bit full, but to be overflowing. You know, sadly, kind of what's been happening in our culture is that these categories of romance and family and friends, and I wonder if you can notice this, not only do we get the stuff in the wrong, try and get love from the wrong places, but these categories start to get blurred. So people might have a friendship. So a boy might have another good friendship with another boy. And they think, well, this is great, but this isn't quite fulfilling the love thing I need. And so they think, well, maybe I need to add romance to this relationship. And so there's another thing that gets added in, and stuff just gets blurred in our culture increasingly as people are just going around trying to find love from one another. You know, even in some cases, because we're so often told in our culture that actually love basically equals sex. That's what the adverts tell us all the time. That's what so many of the films we watch tell us. Love equals sex. And so people are just kind of blurring some of these boundaries. And even in some cases, abuse happens. You know, even in families. Sadly, it's often in families. You know, a parent abuses a child. A child abuses another child. Really because of this blurring and this misunderstanding of where love is. And, you know, if you've been affected by any of those issues, I'd really encourage you to talk to an adult you trust, or if you are an adult, a friend that you trust. If it is happening, it shouldn't, and it can be stopped. But it's all part of this mess of people not understanding where love is supposed to come from and how it's supposed to work. There was a man called Gus, not the Gus from Fault in Our Stars, who knew what it was to be on this hunt for love. He kind of tried everything. His full name's Augustine. And he tried everything until he finally discovered true love in God. And he wrote this about discovering God. "You have made us God for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." I think that's a great summary of this kind of series that we've been doing. We've been made for love. And some of those other relationships are wonderful relationships, but that's not where we're supposed to primarily get our fill from. We're supposed to get it from God, and we will be restless until we do. God is love. Love comes from God. If you don't get love from him, if you go to all those other places, you will always end up empty, searching for more. And the defining kind of feature of a person is basically the presence or absence of this love. Did you notice? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love, verse 8, does not know God because God is love. Basically, you know if someone is a Christian because they've discovered another source of life. They've discovered the kind of the hose pipe, this source of love that is unending. You know, we're all kind of empty people trying to get love from other empty people, when what we need actually is to be full people. Full people who can then give out to others. So what is this love that we're supposed to receive? I mean, what is it? Is it like this romantic love? Is it this friendship love, this family? What is this love from God? Well, verse 9 tells us, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is amazing. God says true love, true friendship is defined not by sex, but by sacrifice. By sacrifice. And this is an extraordinary truth. And this is why there's a whole other word for love used here in the Bible. So we're going to learn a bit of Greek now. Who's up for learning a bit of Greek? Okay, yeah? You can go, you know, you can go home and say, I've learned some Greek at church. Okay, the Greek is what the New Testament was written in. And so when you read the word love here in the Bible, you just assume it's a word that, like what we have in the English language. But actually in Greek, there's four different words for love. Okay? And three of them are referring to this. Either romantic love, friendship love, or this family love. That's three of them. But when the Bible wants to refer to this love that is from God, and this love that's supposed to be between God's people, the Bible uses a whole other word, okay? And this is the word we're gonna learn. It's called agape, okay? Can you say that with me? Agape, okay? So we're gonna learn about agape love. What does agape mean? Well, we get an example of it here in the Bible. This Jesus, this one who comes and loves us in what is called, what he says is, he, verse 10, this is how God showed his agape, verse 9, among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is agape, not that we loved God, but that he agaped us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Agape love isn't a love that responds to love. Okay? You know, that's how our relationships work, don't we? You know, someone, you find out someone, you know, your parents show you love, and so you respond to that love. Okay? That's how our loving relationships work. That's not how agape loves. Agape love initiates. It says, I will love you even if you don't love me back. God comes even while we're his enemies. I'll love you even if you never love me. I mean, and that is so, so different from anything we experience so often. So, so different from those other places of love. Unconditional love. This love not only says, I will love you, even if you don't love me back, it says, I will sacrifice for you. I will give of myself. I will give my life, ultimately, Jesus says. I give my life for you. And you can remember Jesus on the cross, he said these words of the people who are crucifying him. His enemies, he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He looks at the ones who just put him on the cross and he says, they're the ones I want to forgive. They're the ones I love. And it's extraordinary. No one loves us like this God. Agape, sacrificial love. How long have I been speaking for? How long have I been speaking for? Do you know? Okay. We'll move on. It's not normal. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to realize that you are more loved than you can possibly imagine. And that's the Christian gospel. The Christian gospel, coming to Christ, is realizing I am more loved than I could ever have imagined. That is real love. And this opens up the possibility of a completely different sort of community, a completely different sort of friendship, a friendship that is based on agape love. Okay, say that again, agape love. And I'm just going to end with this. You see, real friendship, the sort of friendship we see in the Bible is supposed to be expressed in the same way that Jesus expresses his love for us. So look with me, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to agape one another, it says. No one has ever seen God. But if we, this is an extraordinary thing. Listen to this. No one's ever seen God. Maybe you think, God, God, if only you'd show me yourself, I believe. Oh, God, I wish I could see you. And my friends say, I wish I could see God. No one's ever seen God. But if we agape, if we agape one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Love like this only occurs where God is. And God only comes where there is love like this. So as we agape one another, as we say, I'm going to love my friends like God loves me in a sacrificial, unconditional way, as we do that together as a church family, we discover the presence of God amongst us in a way that we would never discover it elsewhere. You see that? No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, if we agape one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. Love is a bit like water. Back to the illustration. You see, if you know anything about water, if that water kind of stood there all week and we came back for the next encounter and I poured you a cup, do you know what? It would not taste good. Yeah? Wouldn't taste good, would it? Why? Because it would be stagnant. It's not moving. And that's the thing with love. It needs to move. Yeah? If you want to have healthy, good water, it needs to be running water, not stagnant water. And so often we kind of get stagnant with our love. We think, I've only got this little bit of love. I've got a little bit from my friends, and I've got a little bit in this relationship, and I've got a bit from my family, and that's all I've got. And I can't move it, because if I move that, I'm done. And it becomes stagnant. And what we're called to be is like this hose pipe that's connected to the tap. And so that we're full and we can give out, and then we can be filled again, and we can give out and we can be filled again. This is the sort of friendship we're called to have. You see, I didn't fit into any of those groups particularly. But there was one group that I was a part of when I was growing up. And it was a bit of a weird group. There was a whole bunch of kind of people from different backgrounds. There were quite a few teenagers, but there were kind of people who weren't teenagers. There was people from different schools. There was one other guy in my year, and there were some people with kids. And what was weird about this group was that this was a group that I never had to work at to be accepted in. This was a group where I was loved and accepted for who I was, and encouraged to be who I am. And this group, it had its faults, it had its failings, there were the falling outs, but there was always forgiveness. There was always reconciliation. We went on holiday together, we laughed together, we cried together, we used to cram into people's living rooms on Friday night and watch Friends. It was a group in my local church. And because this group was a group of people who knew what it is to be connected to this agape love, they were able to show agape love to people like me who were just discovering it. And it was wonderful. It was amazing. It was life transforming. And I made friends there that are still my friends today. And one of them was my best man. And it was such a blessing. And this is the sort of group that John is talking about here. And this is the sort of group we can be. It's not just for the youth group. That's not the vision of the youth. It's to be an extended family. That's why Gary and Laura and Adam and Sarah, they bring their kids along to stuff, because we're called to be extended family on mission, experiencing this agape love together. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that God would come and meet with us. Maybe this evening you're feeling like, I've got this tiny little bit of left of love, and I just can't let it move because I need to keep this for myself. Or maybe you're there tonight and you're just thinking, I've been doing that. I've been trying to find love in all the wrong places rather than in God. And you need to come and be filled afresh with Him so that you can then love your friends, those around you here, like God loves us. Let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to invite Katie and the band to come forward. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than that they lay down one's life for one's friends. Lord God, we confess that so often we go after love in the wrong places. And Lord, we end up as kind of empty or kind of half full people when we've been called to be full people. And so Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that they would know this evening a fresh filling of your love. Lord, I pray that they might be able to grasp something of the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And tonight, if you just want to ask for that fresh filling, if you want to ask for God to come and reveal His love afresh to you, I'm just going to encourage you just to put your hands out in front of you. Just, you know, sometimes we put our hands out to receive, don't we? And if you want to receive tonight from God, just put your hands out. That's what I'm going to do. I need this every day. Lord God, as we worship you now, we invite you, come fill us afresh. Pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive our wandering in all the places where we end up dry. Lord, come fill us afresh, we pray. Let's worship God together.